WRAL News on Fox 50. Coverage you can count on.
Now at 8 on Fox 50, be prepared for rain if you're heading out the door this morning. You're looking live at the clouds over Fayetteville right now. Our team is tracking the chance for rain across our area and when the clouds will start to clear out. A lot to tell you about at 8 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. We are also on top of a big developing story in downtown Raleigh. What started out as a peaceful vigil ended in violence against police and vandalism, as well as arrests. And this morning we are learning who has been taken into custody as the rest of the nation braces for demonstrations at the end of a trial. Now, this is the trial of former police officer charged with murder, Derek Chauvin. First, we want to get you straight to weather, though. Elizabeth Garden, the WRL Severe Weather Center, with how quickly those showers are coming our way.
That's right. Boy, I've been watching this all morning for the last 3 or 4 hours. That rain's been hanging up to our north and west, making very little progress down to the south and east. But it certainly looks like as we get closer to lunchtime, we'll see this band dropping in and bringing us a little bit of light, patchy rain. None of it's going to be terribly heavy, but expect it to continue to drop in. As a matter of fact, we're just now starting to see some of that rain getting a little bit closer to, say, Orange County and Person County. We'll zoom in and you can see starting to move in not too far from, say, Mebane. And then we're seeing some of that back across the areas just to the west of, say, Hyco Lake. Let's take a look at Futurecast. And you can see a few isolated showers that roll through. Notice at lunchtime over here to the east, east of I-95, there's some clusters that look like thunderstorms. That's where we'd have the best chance of storms. There's even a level one risk east of our viewing area for later on today. We'll go over that coming up in a few minutes. Expect skies to clear this afternoon and some sunshine to wrap up the day. But right now we're looking at cloudy skies in Sanford. We took a look earlier at that sky in Fayetteville, very gray there. And where we have some of those low clouds in Fayetteville, you may be seeing a little bit of drizzle too. It's 58 in Clinton, 49 in South Hill, 53 in Southern Pine. So it's a bit of a cool start this morning. By lunchtime, low 60s still with the clouds hanging around. But once we see the clouds breaking up, highs will climb into the upper 60s. Brian?
Here at 802, following breaking news in Garner, Highway 70 is closed in both directions right now at the intersection of White Oak Road and Jones Sausage Road. Sky 5 just sent in this video from just a few minutes ago where they have closed that intersection. There are reports that this crash might involve some sort of hazardous material, which has prompted the closure there. You can see something there in the road that they're trying to clean up there. We're working to get some more details about exactly what happened out there and when Highway 70 might reopen at that major intersection, not too far from the I-40 interchange. There are detours set up at the scene. Probably your best bet to avoid it altogether might be Garner Road, but of course that is a two-lane road and doesn't have nearly the capacity that 70 Business has. So I think it's going to be a pretty messy situation out there for much of the morning. Something that we're following. Casey Cunningham on the way. Hope to get some live reports from her coming up shortly. Also following heavy delays on 40 westbound coming into Garner from the western side of Johnston County. We had a disabled vehicle just a few minutes ago on 40 westbound around the Clayton Bypass. Clear. That scene now is cleared. All lanes are open, but we're still looking at lingering delays, about 30 minutes to take that trip from 42 up to the Beltline. Jeff?
We also have new information this morning about arrests in Raleigh that followed a peaceful vigil for people who have died in the hands of police. In an update, after midnight, police said 12 people were arrested. They range in age from 19 to 49. None of them are in jail this morning. Video from Sky 5 shows police taking people into custody last night. Most were charged with failure to disperse.
Some protesters spray-painted businesses and even shattered storefront windows. You can see more of the damage here. WRL's Casey Cunningham is live in the Warehouse District. And Casey, does it appear much of the damage is in that area?
It's definitely concentrated here in the Warehouse District. Happening now, the cleanup. You can see here behind us crews here outside of the Urban Outfitters sweeping up glass. That glass of those front doors shattered, and you can also see some graffiti there on the glass and also the brick. Around 8:30 last night, Raleigh police said the protest turned into an unlawful assembly, and they told the crowd to get back on the sidewalks and to clear out the street. Again, this is the majority of where we're seeing the damage. But I also want to show you what else we've seen in downtown Raleigh. You can see this spray painted on the wall saying burn it down. A lot of broken glass and Dante Wright's name also spray painted on some of the buildings here. We did have a crew downtown on Sunday night. They said that they could see large crowds. They also saw trash bins that were thrown into the street, a flag that was burned, and eggs being thrown at police. We've also talked with City of Raleigh crews who came out here early this morning, and they said they've been cleaning up trash and debris all morning. Casey Cunningham, WRAL News in Raleigh.
This all started with a calm demonstration in Moore Square. A group of about 100, many wearing black, shared emotional stories of police brutality and social injustices. They gathered in honor of Dante Wright of a Minneapolis suburb and Adam Toledo of Chicago. Both were shot and killed by police officers.
In just 2 hours, closing arguments will begin in the trial of Derek Chauvin. Prosecutors will have one more chance to convince the jury that the former officer should be convicted of murder for killing George Floyd during his arrest last May. Chauvin's attorneys, meanwhile, will make the case that Floyd died of a mix of drugs and a heart condition. Once final arguments happen, the judge will dismiss two alternates on the jury and will allow the other 12 to begin deliberations. Civil rights advocates are hoping for a conviction.
Because we believe that could be a precedence of finally making America live up to its promise of liberty and justice for all. That means all of us, black people, Hispanic people, Native people, all of us.
Now, jury deliberation could take anywhere from hours to days to weeks. You can watch the closing arguments on WRAL this morning. A special report begins at 10 a.m. You can also watch it live on WRAL.com and on our WRAL News app.
Happening today, Durham County is changing the way it schedules COVID-19 vaccine appointments. In 1 hour at 9 a.m., the county will end its online wait list and open up its phone lines. If you already signed up for an appointment online, the county should have contacted you. Officials say you should only have to wait a week to get your vaccine.
By the end of the week, we will likely know what's next for Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the CDC and FDA should be issuing a decision by Friday.
My estimate is that we will continue to use it in some form. I doubt very seriously if they just cancel it. I don't think that's going to happen.
Every state in the country has halted the use of the J&J vaccine following concerns about a link to a rare but dangerous blood clot. Dr. Fauci says health experts will likely lift this pause when they meet on Friday, but will include restrictions.
Three more states are opening up COVID-19 vaccines to every adult starting today. New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Oregon now join other states, including North Carolina, who've already opened up vaccine eligibility. The move comes on the day of the nationwide deadline set by President Biden to allow anyone 16 or older to sign up for a shot. The White House will hold a briefing about the pandemic at 10:30 this morning. You can watch it live on WRAL.com.
You can find out how to sign up for a vaccine by clicking the yellow Find Your Vaccine banner on the WRAL.com or the WRAL News app. Our team is updating vaccine availability near you every day, and we'll send you notifications straight to your phone when doses show up near you.
The final wave of students returns to full-time in-person learning in three local school systems this morning. In Harnett County, high school students will be back in the classroom full-time. In Granville County, middle and high schoolers return to school 4 days a week. And in Halifax County, grades 6 through 12 are also back full-time. $1.5 billion and 700 jobs could be at stake. Just ahead, how you can weigh in on a plan that could mean a major business expansion in our community.
Happening today, new data from the first flight on Mars. Coming up, we'll tell you how Durham is connected.
And I'm continuing to track some showers that are likely to come in just a few hours. I'll show you when those should taper off. Shouldn't be a big deal for the evening commute. We have another round of rain on Wednesday. We're going to go over the timeline for both of those coming up and then show you just how chilly it's going to be and why we're moving back into a colder pattern coming up.
Eight 12 is the time right now. Good morning, Sanford. You can tell things in Lee County there covered by clouds. Much of our viewing area feeling the same thing. wondering who's out there feeling a couple raindrops right now, Elizabeth.
It's getting closer and closer. We've been tracking this all morning long, and we're starting to see it kind of edging toward at least the western part of the viewing area. It's still not here yet, but give it another hour and we should see a little bit of patchy light rain. None of this is likely to be heavy for long, but you can see up to the north and west, some showers are a little heavier. We may see that a little closer to lunchtime. Let's jump around. This is a look at our live camera network, and we'll zoom into Rocky Mountain. You can see it is cloudy there, 52 degrees, no rain falling there just yet. We'll jump in and take a look at what's happening here in Raleigh. A little breezy there at the Capitol. This is a live look from the City of Raleigh Museum camera, 52 degrees. We haven't seen temperatures warming up very much because it is cloudy in most places. We'll head down to Sanford and take a look there. A lot of cloud cover there at 52. No showers there yet either. Again, here's the dual Doppler 5000 radar, starting to see a little bit more of that light patchy rain moving on in. Between now and lunchtime, we should see some waves of that coming through. Most of it will be on the lighter side. And by the time we get to the early part of the afternoon, temperatures should climb into the low to mid 60s. Eventually, that rain slides eastward and we'll begin to see some clearing mid to late afternoon. At that point, temperatures should climb into the mid to upper 60s, maybe even 70 around Fayetteville and Clinton. We could keep it in the mid 60s around Roxboro and South Hill, even as we begin to clear things out. Temperatures are going to turn cooler for us as we get through the next few days. Right now, we're looking at a lot of cold air that's back to our west. The colder air signified there in blue. This is where temperatures are below normal. Temperatures are above normal in the yellows, and we're not seeing a whole lot of that across the country anywhere right now. But we have another front that comes in on Wednesday. Ahead of that front, temperatures will bump up into the 70s, but behind that front, it'll be our turn to turn blue again, and we're looking at some chilly temperatures. Take a look. Our normal low is 49. Tomorrow morning, 46, and then Wednesday morning, fairly mild at 54. But once the front comes through, our overnight lows are going to drop back into the upper 30s. We saw that last week, too. We didn't end up seeing a lot of freezing conditions, but we did up near the Virginia line. The temperatures dropped down to 32. We could see that again either Thursday or Friday morning. 38 on Thursday morning. The record is 32 back in 1978. And on Friday, 39, the record is 33. So we're not likely to hit records around the triangle. And it's not likely to be enough to cause a hard freeze. The latest hard freeze that we've seen, or at least some frosty conditions, was May 8th back in 1989. So we're still not that close to the latest freeze either. So no records. It's just, you know, springtime weather in North Carolina. The warmest day of the week will be tomorrow, partly cloudy skies and 75. And then on Earth Day, 61. Behind that front, our afternoon highs will be chilly along with the overnight lows. Brian.
Following breaking news in Garner, Elizabeth, Highway 70 is closed in both directions right now at White Oak Road and Jones Sausage Road. You can see the red showing up on the map there. Sky 5 said in this video just a little while ago, and you can see where the fire crews and emergency crews are trying to get whatever that is cleared from the road. Apparently it was some sort of a crash, possibly involving hazardous materials, and that is what this is about this morning. We're still working to find out more details about exactly what's going on out there. They're not sure when they're going to be able to reopen 70 business. The delays now coming out of Clayton extend all the way from really the Wake-Johnston County line all the way out toward the I-40 interchange. Not too many great alternate routes, unfortunately. Garner Road, of course, is a two-lane road. It gets backed up very easily. And Highway 50 is also starting to back up pretty badly through there as well. So best for you just to avoid that area altogether. And if you do have to make your way through Garner, allow plenty of extra time. Now, a little bit of good news. We've been following a disabled vehicle out on 40 westbound right around the Clayton bypass. That scene has cleared. Still seeing some lingering delays right now, but those drive times are coming back a little closer to normal, something we're continuing to watch, Jeff.
Right, thanks. Investigators are still searching for a motive as they learn more about the man who killed 8 people in a FedEx facility. And they have determined he was not unknown to law enforcement. Police in Indianapolis say the 19-year-old's mother had warned officers he may be suicidal last March. He was taken to a mental health hospital and police took a shotgun from his home. The rifles he used in last week's shooting were bought legally last June, just months after this encounter.
Today, members of the Sikh community will gather the bodies of those killed during this mass shooting in Indianapolis. 4 of the victims identified as Sikh, and at vigils this weekend, friends and family said they are still in shock.
We are still confused. We don't know what's going on. We're still waiting from authority answer what the really motive was of the shooter.
A Sikh civil rights group has called for an investigation into any possibly hate bias involved in the shooting.
A man is facing charges for a hit and run that shut down a section of Capitol Boulevard over the weekend. This happened on Capitol Boulevard near Homestead Drive. Raleigh police say a car and motorcycle collided. The person on the motorcycle was seriously hurt. Investigators say Jamal Jones is the one driving the car and he left the scene. Police arrested him a short time later and he's charged with felony hit and run.
You're looking live at the White House today, where President Biden will try to convince a bipartisan group of lawmakers to sign on his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan today. Some top Republicans say they are open to a bill improving bridges and broadband across the country, but are creating their own, much more targeted plan. Some Democrats have also pushed for compromise before moving forward without bipartisan support.
Happening today, the Supreme Court will consider an appeal in a case that could affect the immigration status of hundreds of thousands of people in the U.S. The debate is over whether those who received temporary protected status can apply for green cards, even if they entered the country illegally. Around 400,000 people live in the U.S. under this program, allowing them to stay if they can't return home safely. If the Supreme Court upholds the current ruling, recipients would have to leave the country before applying for permanent residency.
This morning, police are working to figure out if two bomb threats at local Walmarts are connected. Police say a man who has not been identified claimed several explosive devices had been placed throughout the Walmart in Knightdale. He warned he would detonate them if his demands for money were not met. A similar threat was made at the Durham location. About 12 pipe bombs. Both stores were able to reopen. The Zebulon Police Department was also dispatched to a Walmart there. Authorities say there was no bomb threat, but rumors and gossip related to the other Walmart closures led the Zebulon store to evacuate.
Despite the pandemic, a local seafood restaurant is preparing to open its second location in Raleigh today. Cape Fear Seafood Company will hold a grand opening celebration for its new spot in the Village District. The move comes following the decision of several other restaurants in the neighborhood to close over the past year.
Happening today, Wake County leaders want your thoughts on a plan to give money to Fujifilm. The Board of Commissioners is taking comments on the company's plan for a new manufacturing site in the Research Triangle. County leaders are weighing whether to award Fujifilm with a business development grant. The board says the project is expected to bring in $1.5 billion and 700 jobs. You can let the board know by what you think by submitting comments from 9 a.m. until noon. Just go to Wake County's website.
The U.S. will host a virtual climate summit on Earth Day Thursday. President Biden invited 40 world leaders to participate. The summit aims to put the U.S. back at the forefront of the global effort to cut greenhouse gas pollution and address worsening storms, devastating wildfires, and rising seas. And this week, groups across our area will be observing Earth Day with celebrations, cleanup efforts, and climate education. WRL has a full list of events happening on Earth Day and throughout the week on WRL.com. Just search Earth Day.
Kids running on playgrounds, giggling with their friends are the simple sounds of childhood. Sadly, because of social and racial inequities, not all communities have safe places for their youth to play. Dan Shenneman introduces us to a nonprofit whose mission is to provide play spaces for everyone.
A childhood rite of passage. Monkey bars, swings, and climbing to a heart's content. But not every child has a place to play.
There's a lot of our schools in this country that do not have playgrounds.
Lisa Ratliff is the CEO of the national nonprofit Kaboom, whose mission is to create safe play spaces.
You know, we learn through play. We learn on the playground to take risks, to foster friendships, to fall down, to get back up.
Over the last 25 years, Kaboom, along with 11 million volunteers, have designed and built over 17,000 play spaces that range from traditional playgrounds to adventure courses.
We work mostly where the need is greatest, which is predominantly in Black, Brown, Indigenous communities.
Kaboom works directly with the kids and community leaders to ensure the space they are creating is what they actually need.
Communities know their place better than anybody else.
Ratliff says the pandemic has increased the need for these types of spaces.
Their childhood has been disrupted. They've been at home. They haven't been at school. They haven't been going to the playground.
The nonprofit believes it only takes a single spark to encourage a child and they want to be that spark.
What we do over the next 5 years, we've got to be able to do what we did over the past 25 years to affect this generation of kids.
A generation of kids who can learn and thrive while enjoying a ritual of childhood. Dan Shenneman, NBC News.
Two of the top prizes for country music are going to the same singer. Maren Morris had a big thank you for her fellow women during the Academy of Country Music Awards.
And even in a year where no one's gotten to play shows, I have heard some of the best music out of all of you this past year. So thank you so much for inspiring me.
Morris won Best Female Artist and Song of the Year for her hit, Bones. Some of the other big winners of the night include Thomas Rhett for Best Male Artist, Chris Stapleton for Best Album, and Luke Bryan, who won Entertainer of the Year. We'll have a closer look at some of the big highlights of the show in our next half hour.
Oh, it was a big success for NASA. It came with the help of a company right here in North Carolina. And coming up, the partnership that led to a historic flight on Mars several hours ago.
Plus, we'll tell you why Vice President Kamala Harris is making several stops in our state today.
Number one source for news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:26 is the time right now on your Monday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan with a look at the top local stories that we're following for you. Glad you're joining along. Elizabeth Gardner, the WRAL Severe Weather Center. The dips and dives of this system and many more to come.
That's right. This is a slow mover, that's for sure. It's been hanging around up near the Virginia line all morning. A couple little isolated sprinkles have popped up in places across the viewing area. Really only looking at a 30% chance. Most of it from the Triangle area northward and eastward. And it all tapers off this afternoon. We should see some clearing after that. We're looking at a mix of sun and clouds across our area. Temperatures are mostly in the low to mid 50s right now. At lunchtime, we'll see low 60s. So it'll be a slow warm up because of all the clouds and showers. With some sunshine this afternoon, expect a high in the upper 60s.
Breaking news in Garner right now. Highway 70 is closed in both directions at the intersection of Jones Sausage and White Oak Road, all because of a crash. This is the camera back at New Rand Road, and they are taking that eastbound traffic and diverting it onto New Rand Road. It looks like westbound traffic might be diverted onto I-40. Want to zoom into that area, show you exactly where this is, not too far from the I-40 interchange. This is a crash that involves some sort of a spill, and right now there's no word on when they're going to be able to reopen 70 business. Unfortunately, not too many good alternate routes. So if you're heading through Garner, you do need to give yourself plenty of extra time.
Brian, thanks. Cleanup begins today after vandalism in downtown Raleigh followed a peaceful vigil for those killed in police shootings, including Dante Wright and Adam Toledo. Some protesters sprayed graffiti, threw eggs at officers, and broke several storefront windows. Officers made 12 arrests. All of those facing charges have been released from jail. Three local school districts are bringing back a final group of students to full-time in-person learning today. In Harnett County, high school students are back full-time. Granville County middle and high schoolers return to school 4 days a week. And in Halifax County, grades 6 through 12 are also back full-time. Next on Fox 50, the North Carolina connection to the historic flight on Mars that took place overnight.
WRAL News on Fox 50. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back. It is 8:30. Let's get you moving along on this Monday. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for making us part of your Monday morning here as we get rolling. It's kind of with a cloud over our heads right now. Elizabeth Gardner and WRL Severe Weather Center won't last forever.
It won't. And, you know, we continue to see these showers way up to our north and west, starting to creep in just a little bit. Let's zoom in. And you can see this little shower here in the northern part of Orange County, getting ready to move on into Person County. But, I mean, there's not much there. We have the chance later this afternoon with a little more heating and seeing the system get a little closer to us to potentially see an isolated thunderstorm, maybe east of I-95. So that'd be east of Roanoke Rapids and Rocky Mountain Wilson. We take a look at future cast from now on through the afternoon. Just a few isolated showers pop up around lunchtime, potentially some thunderstorms east of I-95. And there is a level one risk for severe storms in that area, but it doesn't cover any part of our viewing area. Once we get to 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon, our skies begin to clear out again and temperatures should climb into the upper 60s. But a lot of cloud cover right now. Don't be be surprised, no matter where you are, if there's just a little sprinkle, a little drizzle that comes out of some of those clouds this morning, even if it isn't showing up on radar. Temperatures are mainly in the 50s now, 53 in Southern Pines, 52 Rocky Mount, as well as Roxborough and in Durham. We're going to climb up into the upper 60s this afternoon as we begin to see a little bit of sunshine. I'm tracking another system that'll bring us some rain on Wednesday and some colder air behind it. I'll show you coming up.
A dozen people are facing charges this morning after a peaceful protest against violence at the hands of police officers led to vandalism in downtown Raleigh. New this morning, we have learned those arrests include people ages 19 to 49. Sky 5 flew over that scene. You see it on the left side of your picture here as WRL crews on the ground captured video of police taking people into custody. Most were charged with failure to disperse. One person was charged with assault of an officer and another charged with simple assault. Around 2 a.m., we checked with authorities to see if any of those people were still being held in jail overnight. We were told they were all released.
Some protesters spray painted businesses and shattered storefront windows. As you can see, this video new into the WRL newsroom overnight. WRL's Casey Cunningham went to the warehouse district where the cleanup is underway this morning.
It's definitely concentrated here in the warehouse district. Happening now, the cleanup. You can see here behind us crews here outside of the Urban Outfitters sweeping up glass. That glass of those front doors shattered, and you can also see some graffiti there on the glass and also the brick. Around 8:30 last night, Raleigh police said the protest turned into an unlawful assembly, and they told the crowd to get back on the sidewalks and to clear out the street. Again, this is the majority of where we're seeing the damage, but I also want to show you what else we've seen in downtown Raleigh. You can see this spray painted on the wall saying burn it down, a lot of broken glass, and Dante Wright's name also spray painted on some of the buildings here. We did have a crew downtown on Sunday night. They said that they could see large crowds. They also saw trash bins that were thrown into the street, a flag that was burned, and eggs being thrown at police. We've also talked with City of Raleigh crews who came out here early this morning, and they said they've been cleaning up trash and debris all morning. Casey Cunningham, WRL News in Raleigh.
This all started with a calm demonstration in Moore Square. About 100 to 150 people, many of them wearing black, gathered on the lawn, sharing emotional stories of police brutality and social injustice. They gathered in honor of Dante Wright and Adam Toledo, who were both shot and killed by police.
In less than 90 minutes, a Minneapolis jury will hear closing arguments in the trial of a former officer charged with killing George Floyd. You can watch on WRL or WRL.com as the two sides highlight what they see to be key elements of testimony. Derek Chauvin, who held his knee on Floyd's neck during Floyd's May 2020 arrest, did not testify in his own defense. Once deliberations begin, the jury will be sequestered. Minneapolis and other cities across the country have increased security in anticipation of a verdict sometime this week. Closing arguments start at 10 a.m.
This afternoon, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in North Carolina to highlight the American Jobs Plan. It's her first visit to our state since taking office. Harris will be in Greensboro and High Point to talk about growing our economy and creating jobs. Governor Roy Cooper will join her. Look for live reports from WRL's Sarah Kruger beginning at noon.
Happening now in the WRL Live Center, we have a team of reporters tracking where vaccines are available near you. They just put out a report just about 10 minutes ago. I want to run through it rather quickly for you. Wake Med at the Andrews Center, first dose Pfizer vaccines available tomorrow. Of course, multiple appointments open Thursday and Friday. The primary care in Knightdale, only two appointments open today, though. Let's talk about UNC Health. The Friday Center, appointments open all day at the clinic in Goldsboro. Appointments available all throughout today. We've got a list of places where you can find a vaccine near you. Just go to WRL.com or the WRL News app.
Thanks, Ken. Success for the first powered flight on another planet. About 2 hours ago, NASA received the data from its helicopter on Mars. Engineers say this is a Wright Brothers moment for the future of interplanetary air travel. WRL's Naya Harden is live with the flight's connection to North Carolina. Naya.
Renee, do you know what this means? This all means that we are one step closer to being able to lift off of Mars. That's why they did what they did today. And the best part is Durham is connected because one of the companies actually helped with all of this. They were able to help create the braking mechanism that was on Mars rover Perseverance. Perseverance had given Ingenuity a ride to Mars, and that's the helicopter that we saw today. Now, also how this is connected is because a very small piece of fabric from the Wright brothers' first airplane, the 1903 Wright Flyer, was attached to a cable beneath Ingenuity's solar panel. This drone flying ahead over the rover is to investigate scientifically interesting areas. Now, this climbed 10 feet above Mars and had been up there for only 30 seconds. It's expected to be on the planet for about 31 days. We spoke to Jeff Mobley with the Sierra Nevada Corporation, who created that braking mechanism for Mars rover Perseverance. And here's what he had to say about today's historic moment.
To be a part of that is thrilling. It's great to see the flight be successful this morning and see the enthusiasm in the room as I watched that. And to know that, you know, if it wasn't for our mechanism, they wouldn't have been able to have that flight take place.
And of course, they are still collecting all the data from all of that with the mission. We're going to continue to keep you updated throughout the day. Naya Harden, WRL News in Durham.
Oh, it's such a cool thing to see that go up just for a few seconds, what it was against and how it pulled it off. Naya, thank you. As of today, all U.S. adults 16 and up are eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine. There's a new hurdle, though, in the way of herd immunity. Just ahead, the challenge facing health experts as supply increases.
And how a car with no one in the driver's seat ended up killing two people. Today is the day, the deadline set by President Biden to open up eligibility for the COVID-19 vaccine to all adults 16 and up.
And states are delivering on his promise, but as Britt Conway explains, fewer people are signing up to get the shots.
By no later than April 19th.
Today's the day. Every American 16 years and older is eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine.
It's your turn now.
As of Sunday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says half of U.S. adults have had at least one dose, a big step in the race between vaccines and variants.
That's the reason why you want to get our population vaccinated.
But demand is dropping in a number of states. A recent poll from Monmouth University shows about one in five adults say they're not willing to get vaccinated. The divide is mostly along party lines, with 43% of Republicans who want to avoid the vaccine, 22% of independents, and 5% of Democrats. The reasons vary, from a push to maintain personal freedoms.
This is a public health issue. It's not a civil liberties issue.
To distrust because of past mistreatment of minorities by health professionals, difficulty accessing the shots, not liking needles, or a lack of long-term safety data.
These vaccines are exceedingly safe. They are, I believe, safer than most therapies and vaccines that we have developed in the past.
Health experts say whatever the reason, it's all the more reason to keep talking.
Having that conversation in a way that doesn't make them feel judged or ashamed by having like any kind of concerns or hesitations. And that allows them to at least feel a bit more comfortable with it.
I'm Britt Conway reporting.
And President Biden will address the state of the vaccine rollout on Wednesday.
Meanwhile, the White House response team will hold a briefing at 10:30 this morning. You can watch it on WRL.com and on the WRL News app.
If you see him, he is considered armed and dangerous at this point.
A former deputy linked to a triple murder is on the run. Just ahead, how he got out of jail after already facing separate criminal charges. It is 8:44, and you can see that thick deck of clouds hanging over Goldsboro right now. and over much of the triangle. Will those clouds bring us any rain? We're certainly watching for the possibility of it. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking some activity on the radar.
Well, that's right. It's very, very light, and it's been long in coming for it to see it dropping down from Virginia, which is exactly what we were expecting. We're going to see just a little bit of patchy light rain now all the way through the early part of the afternoon, with the exception of east of I-95, where there could be a few isolated thunderstorms. Notice here just north of Hillsboro, moving into, say, Person County, seeing a few isolated showers. You're going to start to see a little bit of this up into Mecklenburg County, Virginia, and kind of along and north of I-85 here over the next hour or so. And it may be that some of that slides a little bit farther south, say down toward the Raleigh area, and maybe as far south as Goldsboro as it slides eastward. East of I-95, there's a better chance for some thunderstorms and even a level one risk for severe weather here. Damaging wind would be the greatest threat. Most of that's going to be east of our viewing area, but we could see some scattered thunderstorms there along the I-95 corridor. Take a look at Futurecast. We'll time that out, and you can see it looks really light and patchy here at lunchtime, but some of these storms are showing up here in the east. You see the yellow and the red contours there. That's where we'll likely see some scattered thunderstorms. We're less likely to see that across the bulk of our viewing area. By the time we get to mid to late afternoon, we begin to see the clouds clearing, and temperatures should climb into the upper 60s. It's really just a 30% chance. This is not going to be a lot of heavy rain for us. These showers will be light for the most part, and they'll move through fairly quickly. We'll end up with some sunshine again mid to late afternoon. We're seeing a mix of sun and clouds across the viewing area right now. Goldsboro is one of the spots where there's a little bit of sunshine breaking through right now. We have our low pressure system that's going to drag this rain from Virginia across our part of North Carolina and then out to sea. And then we'll see dry conditions for tomorrow. Watch that. You can see that low moving on out as we head through the afternoon and some clear skies developing. It may be on the gray side tomorrow. We're going to see more moisture moving in, enough for some cloud cover. And then we'll follow this next front, which is going to bring some winter weather to parts of the country. From Chicago down towards St. Louis, we're looking at snow and a wintry mix. So there is cold air behind this. Now, we don't see anything like that. We're going to see just some showers on and off again in our northern counties on Wednesday. But behind this, we're going to see a shot of some colder air. It's going to feel pretty chilly for us on Thursday, and we're going to see some overnight lows down into the 30s again. So some light showers today and Wednesday. And then for Earth Day on Thursday, our high only 61, and our overnight low is going to be into the 30s. So 34 in Roxboro, 35 degrees up in South Hill, 38 in Raleigh, 40 in Clinton. So be prepared for some more chilly temperatures. After that, we warm back up a little bit over the weekend, but right now it looks like we may be dealing with another system that'll bring us some showers. Brian?
Elizabeth, just getting some new information about some breaking news we've been following in Garner. Highway 70 closed right around the White Oak Road intersection. We've just learned they have just reopened the westbound side of 70. Eastbound traffic is going to be opening soon. This is the camera out at 70 at New Rand Road. That's some of that eastbound traffic getting diverted there at New Rand Road. I want to show you some video from Sky 5 from just a little while ago as they respond to a crash that apparently involves some sort of a hazardous material incident. And in a moment, you'll see that there is something out there. You can see right there in the road. But again, apparently this is clearing up fairly quickly. But even once we get all of those lanes open, it's going to be a while before traffic returns to normal. Again, that westbound side, we are starting to see some of those delays easing up a bit, and we'll see the eastbound traffic looking a lot better here before too long. Also, still seeing some lingering delays this morning on 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass. We had an earlier disabled vehicle that caused these problems. Those backups begin around 42 and extend through the bypass interchange. A lot of people this morning, because of that big delay that they saw out there on 40 westbound, used 50 north as an alternate route. It's very heavily backed up all the way through Garner this morning, so we'll have plenty of extra time.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center as Japan prepares for the Summer Olympic Games. I want to take you to new video into a newsroom as the media was taken inside this distribution center in eastern Japan. The facility began operating in March to sort out vaccines for medical personnel. Now, as you can see, workers are packing vaccines and syringes in cooler temperatures and containers that will be distributed to hospitals and clinics all across eastern Japan. About 13,000 doses were scheduled to go out today. Don't forget, the Summer Games start in July.
New this morning, five people are in the hospital after the third shooting with multiple victims in the U.S. in just 24 hours. The most recent shooting happened near a liquor store in Shreveport, Louisiana. Police say someone started firing shots during a traffic jam. They have not said exactly what led to the shooting or if there is a suspect in custody.
Police in Austin say the man who is on the run right now after a triple murder is a former sheriff's deputy.
If you see him, he is considered armed and dangerous at this point. And as I said, we still do not have this scene completely under control.
Investigators there in Texas say the former deputy shot and killed three people at an apartment complex yesterday. They don't think the they do think the shooting was targeted. The two victims, two women, plus a man. So three victims altogether. And the former deputy was already facing charges of sexual assault of a child, but had posted bail last summer. And in Wisconsin, murder charges are pending against a person of interest after another deadly triple shooting. This one happened at a bar in Kenosha, Wisconsin, early yesterday morning. Deputies say the shooter had been arguing with managers before leaving the bar and then came back with a gun and started shooting. Three men were killed. Two other people were hurt. Happening now, two countries are creating a travel bubble by allowing people to move between them without going into quarantine. For the first time this morning, Australians set out for New Zealand with the new rule in place. However, visitors won't be allowed into New Zealand if they test positive for COVID-19 within 14 days of their trip or are showing flu-like symptoms. Both countries have been able to ease restrictions because of a decline in cases.
It's now easier for you to get a COVID-19 vaccine in Wake County. You'll no longer need to join a wait list to sign up. The county now allows direct scheduling. Anyone can now go online to make an appointment, getting to choose location and select a preferred vaccine brand. Those looking to get a vaccine say they welcome the change.
I think it's wonderful. I'm glad that it's finally getting to that point where it is readily available that anybody can.
A spokeswoman says most of the county's vaccination sites continue to run by appointment only. Walk-in clinics may be possible in the future.
No one was behind the wheel when a Tesla on self-driving mode crashed and killed two people. It's according to investigators in Texas who say the owner was in the back seat at the time while another person was in the passenger seat. They say the Model S missed a curve in the road and smashed into a tree at a high rate of speed. First responders had to call Tesla to try to figure out how to put out the fire caused by the crash because the high-energy batteries kept reigniting that fire. Did a medical crisis leave you thinking about insurance? Now's the time to check out the marketplace. COVID-19 led the federal government to create a special enrollment period that is open right now. More people than ever qualify for help paying for coverage. You can learn more Thursday with Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty. From cost to coverage, experts will answer your questions only on WRIL Thursday from 4:30 until from 4 p.m. until 7:30 p.m.
History is made in country music. Mickey Guyton became the first black woman to host the Academy of Country Music Awards in Nashville. Ashley Dvorkin explains.
Nashville is back.
Hosted by Keith Urban and Mickey Guyton, the 56th Academy of Country Music Awards took place at iconic Music City locations, including the Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman Auditorium, in front of audiences of social distanced healthcare workers. So hold on. Guyton and Urban were among the stars to perform. The lineup also featured collaborations like the powerful vocals of Carrie Underwood with gospel icon CeCe Winans, plus lead nominees Miranda Lambert and Chris Stapleton, and Single of the Year winners Carly Pierce and Lee Bryce. Also winning those ACM trophies, Stapleton took Album of the Year for Starting Over. Old Dominion won a second consecutive Group of the Year. Dan and Shay were named Duo of the Year a second year in a row. And Maren Morris added another Female of the Year award to her collection. Morris also won Song of the Year for The Bone. Male Artist of the Year went to Thomas Rhett, and the Entertainer of the Year is Luke Bryan. Following a recent positive COVID-19 test, the singer accepted live remotely from L.A.
Oh my God, y'all got me? I'm amazingly surprised.
As Bryan accepted, he shared, as many artists did, his excitement to get back out on the road doing what they love. In Hollywood, Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Good stuff to see some of those award shows back.
Yeah.
Folks interacting.
Congratulations to all the winners. Yeah.
Another check, weather and traffic coming up next.